Could you put in words in about 10,000 pages or less what he's done for you? Oh my, I've never gotten over that day that he saved me. And then he called an old dumb country boy to preach. And that was, anyway, what a God we serve. Turn back with me to Isaiah 53, would you please? Isaiah 53. Today's message will have to do with wounds, bruises, and peace. Wounds, bruises, and peace. Isaiah 53, as we've been doing and will do till we're finished, we're going to read all 12 verses. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Today's text, verse 5 here. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought forth as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Dear Father, thank you for being here today to assemble, to come together here in your house. What a blessing. We've come here today, Father, to worship you. We've come here to ask you to calm our troubled hearts and to strengthen us, to give us wisdom, those of us that know you as Savior. And certainly we pray for that individual, may not, but they can. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And when they bow and repent of sin and ask you to come into the heart, you will, without a doubt. Father, we pray for all the sick today. It's in our church. There's a number of them. I won't attempt to call the names, but for God, you know who they are, the different ones. They may be watching live stream today. I pray our services will be a blessing to them. It will encourage them, uplift them. And those that may be watching for the first time or have been watching for some time, Lord, pray that our services are being a blessing to them. And Lord, one day they may just decide they're going to go visit that church. That would be such a blessing, and I pray they will. Father, we commit the services to you this morning. We pray in Jesus' precious name for his honor and glory. Amen and amen. Wounds, bruises, and peace. Perhaps the most moving prophecy of the cross we have right here in front of us, as we just read here this morning. Here, the price of redemption, would you believe, it becomes personal. I don't know how any preacher can preach without the message being personal. Got to be personal. I realized one day as I was going to the church where we were hearing the Word of God for the first time like it should be, I thought, you know, that preacher's preaching to me, sure in the world. And he was. And there was someone else working on my heart called the Holy Spirit. Actually, here in this chapter, we have a preview of John 3:16. How many? Well, I better not. I won't embarrass anyone. But I want to say that probably most everyone in this building knows John 3:16. You've known it since you were a child. Probably learned in Sunday school or whatever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, all of us should memorize that one, should we not? What a blessing. The gospel, certainly there. The details of Christ's death on the cross that should call us to faith is what we have here also in this great passage here in the book of Isaiah. Matter of fact, it's a text where we can write our names. No one accepted. We write our names here. Absolutely. All the suffering that we read about in this chapter was for you and me. Isn't that something? I mean, you think about it, you and me. You and me. I'm so glad that whosoever means me. Not only that, it also means you. What a Savior we have, folks. What a Savior we have. But all what he had to go through that you and I could have life and have it abundantly and have everlasting life. So his suffering declares, really, when you add it all up, the depths of his love. When we quote that verse, for God so loved. And just think about that two-word phrase, so loved. I don't believe you can define it. I don't believe you can find enough words to describe what the Word of God means to us here and how Christ loved us so much that he was willing to go yonder to a cross and give his life, and I mean just suffer, bled and died for you and me. Hallelujah, what a Savior. So that brings us here to these three words, wounds, bruises, and peace. Ask the Holy Spirit to just kind of open your minds. Maybe you already have. But just open your hearts and minds this morning and hear what I believe God wants us to get from this. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If your Christian life ever grows old to you, oh, something happened. How can you wake up any morning and not realize there's someone watched over you while you were sleeping and is ready to help you and to show you and lead you through your life through that day? Without me, ye can do nothing. Think about that. Without me, ye can do nothing. Not me and him and her or whoever. Without me, ye can do nothing. He was wounded for you and me. He was wounded for our transgressions. Who is this one that was wounded? Of course, we know who it is. In Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, it tells us it's the one that was pierced. The one that was pierced. In Matthew 27 and verse 29, the one who wore a crown of thorns. Have you ever tried to think about that? You ever tried to think about someone having a crown of thorns, and you've seen them. People have made them, you know, having that pierced down on your head, on your brow. Have you ever felt one of those thorns? Back home, we lived there on the farm and back in the country and there in the woods and around, especially the edge of the woods, there were what was called thorn bushes. Those bushes grew a berry. It was kind of bluish in color. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. We call them halls. Why? Don't ask me. I don't know. But we called them halls. But we ate them. And they were good. They were good. Spit seeds out. But they were good. But anyway, that bush, the fruit was sweet. Boy, you talk about getting hurt and feel one of. I believe they were sharper than a needle. Oh, and if you got yourself, you got stuck, it didn't just go away, it hurt. for quite a while. It just hurt. Can you imagine that crown of thorns being pushed down over our Savior's brow? And what happened when those thorns pierced the skin? It started to bleed. Yeah. Oh, and the crowd yelling and all of that to do going on. He going through what he went through for your sins and mine. And not only that, but he was nailed to the cross, we're told in John 20 and verse 25. Nailed to the cross. Hey, Dan, can you imagine they were, we've had, I forgot who it was here. Who did that illustration? Wood, yes. And he had the spikes and he had the crown of thorns and he demonstrated and went through all of that. But can you imagine that spike about like that, about that long, driven through his hands, his feet, across his legs, drove it all the way through his feet, nailed him to the cross. Oh, my. And then he was wounded with that spear that this soldier had and pierced his side, John 19:34. Now the question may come, and it may sound real simple, but why was he wounded? Why was he wounded? For our transgressions. Let's cut that down to just one four-little letter word. We could make it one. For our S-I-N-S. Sins. Sin. Oh, has America and the people in it grown used to this word sin? They see or feel no consequences to this matter of sin. But God's word says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That which doesn't glorify God is sin. But his blood takes care of it. If we confess it, and we should, our hearts ought to be broken. We should, don't want to get used to it. And when we sin, it, as I said, should break our hearts when we get rid of it. And we go on serving the Lord. Christ was our substitute. Our substitute. See, me and you should have had to do what he did. But because he did, we didn't have to. Somebody would ask you today, and I feel sure the answer would be the same, but everybody, I would think, maybe for exception to some, but greatest thing ever happened to me is when Christ came to live in my heart, when I got saved. Nothing has ever happened to me greater than that. And I married a beautiful woman one day. She said, I do. I thought my heart was going to stop. But that pales when you think about what Christ has done for us. My wife couldn't die for me. You can't die for me. I can't die for you. But Jesus did. He was our substitute. And of course, these wounds were because of his love for you and me, as I've already said. The wounds of Christ were prophesied back in Zechariah 13 and verse 6. The wounds of Christ were in God's plan for our salvation. Way back there. And I could use a number of Old Testament passages, which I won't take time to do now, that Christ was coming. And especially there in the book of Isaiah. Oh my, what a Savior we have. And you know something? Since we've been saved, now we should not love him less. We ought to love him more. I want you to think for just a minute. What happened the day you got saved? What happened? Well, preacher, I got saved. Yeah, amen. Amen. That's true. Have you ever thought about this book in the Bible called the Lamb's Book of Life? I heard one old preacher say one time, he said, the only way you can get your name written in that book of life is with the blood of Jesus. He was right. You know, we take pride in seeing our names in different places. We're glad. We're thankful for it. But to know that my name and yours, if you're saved, is written in the Lamb's book of life. Not just any book. This is the Lamb's book of life. And it can never be taken out. It can never be erased. It's there forever. It's never been a name recorded in that book by mistake. No. It's there. And I mentioned a moment ago, but since we've been saved, we're no longer accountable for our sins. Now, we can lose rewards when we stand before the Lord if we don't confess our sin and ask God to forgive us. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ not only was shed to save us, but it shed to keep us. I mentioned it a moment ago, I think. We're in God's hand and no man can pluck us out of there. Out of His hands, we're there forever and forever and forever because of His wounds and bruises. And because of that, we have peace. Can I ask you this morning, listen to me, folks, moms, dads, grandma, grandpa, young people. As you sit there listening to this preacher this morning, sitting here in the house of God, and I know that, you know, we all go through trouble in this life. We go through all kinds of tragedy and turmoil and all of that. But that can all happen. But as a child of God, nothing can remove that peace that we have in our hearts. Are you listening to me? Hurt, yes. Terrible, yes. But there's peace that passeth understanding. All understanding. Peace. I tell you what, I've referred to it down through the years as a good sleeping pill. A lot of people spend a lot of money just to try to get some sleep. Be honest with you, maybe it's just, I know it's the Lord's blessings, but I never had really any problem unless I was sick going to sleep. Normally, when I get the blanket up to about here, I don't even know what's there. I'm gone. It's called rest, brother. It is. And I hope you. But that pales, that rest, in light of the rest and the peace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, what a blessing. And those wounds were for you and me. So He was wounded and then He was bruised for you and me. Bruised for our iniquities. Now just imagine, He was made to carry the cross. There to Golgotha. And then, I often want to think that the cross was, it was laying on the ground. But even before they got there, think about how they mistreated the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about it. Bruised. Before He even got there. He was already hurting. Can you imagine many times it's referred to as a cat of nine tails? I think when Brother Wood was here, he had that whip and he sat on the ends of those, I don't know if it was rawhide, leather, or what it was, but in there were little teeny pieces of glass or stone or something. And when they whipped the Lord Jesus with that, when they do that, they kind of jerk it. Of course, it cut the flesh. Do you think that might have hurt? Do you think that might have brought some suffering to our Lord? But I don't think it surprised Him. Had you and me in mind when He did that. He really did. And then they put Him on the cross. And I mentioned a while ago those spikes had driven through His ankles and His hands. And that crown of thorns. And of course the bruises, of course, from the nails. And I've often thought about it, and I think this is something I think about every time I preach on this subject or read it in the Word of God is when they finally got Him ready, and I don't know how many, but it took a number, I'm sure, that lifted that cross up. Lifted it up. Up and up and up and up and up. Well, He was hurting then, but then when they got it where it could do that, could fall, it fell and hit the bottom of that hole. Can you imagine what happened to His hands where the nails were? And the spikes down here, how it ripped, it tore into his body. I'm not trying to be melodramatic, people. I'm trying my best to be real. That Jesus Christ did that for you and me because of our sin. And we didn't deserve it. No person's ever deserved Christ doing, suffering the way he did. No one. There again, for God so loved the world. That love includes that, see? Bruises from him just riding against that cross. There's some other thoughts about bruises in the Bible. If you take time to look in Genesis 3:15, here was the bruising of the serpent's head, which illustrates, prophesies what I've been talking about. And he came to set those free who were bruised, we read in Luke 4 and verse 18. But he was bruised, and I want to emphasize, if I possibly can, why he was bruised. Why did Christ have to do that? Why did he have to go through all of that? He did it for our transgressions. I may be speaking to someone here this morning, and you may even be saved. You know, after you're saved, you're not free to do anything you want to. God says to live for him. Yes, God forgives us, but I tell you, if there's true repentance for that particular sin, by the grace of God, you're not going to do it anymore. Come on. You're not going to do it anymore. Oh, yes, God, Christ's blood is there. How many times have I had to plead the blood of Christ? We repent sincerely. We do our best for the grace of God not to do that anymore. And then, of course, again, why was he bruised? You can't preach any of this without bringing in the fact of his love more than one time. Loved us so much. Loved us just incredibly how. And still does. Still does. And then, I mentioned it earlier, a few minutes ago, but then there's peace. Now think about this phrase. Think about what I'm about to say. The chastisement of our peace was up on him. Just think about that. Let me tell you something, folks. There is a price for peace. Do you have a peaceful heart this morning, or do you have a troubled heart? Are you a troubled individual? Now, I'm not making light of the fact, I know this old life, it's a good life if you live for the Lord, but life in itself is what I'm trying to say. I mean, we live life and we are so thankful for it, all of God's blessings upon us, and we're so thankful to him for what he has done, what he is doing, what he's going to do. But he's the only one that can give me and you peace that passes all understanding. Passes all understanding. And the peace I'm speaking about here is the peace only God can give. There are people who can make us happy. We love them. We enjoy them. We love being around them. And thank God for our people and all of that. I made a comment to one of the men out there in the foyer a moment ago between Sunday school and church. And I said, boy, it's such a blessing to hear people coming in church and they're bumping fists or whatever they want to do and laughing. Good to see you. Glad you're here. All that kind of thing. Man, made me want to get a switch and charge a bulldog. You know what I'm saying? It's a blessing. to know the Lord. The blessing to know God. Our sins separated us from God. Down through the years, I don't have anyone in mind right now, but I believe in these years that I've led some pretty tough characters to Christ. But you know, they all end up the same way. You can see them beginning to be humbled, and when they see their need to come to Christ. When they realize that I am nothing, I'm sorry, I'm no good, and I need Christ, and because He's going to forgive me of my sins, and I'm trying to describe this, and I know I'll come up short on words, but here's the one that can do for me what no one else can do. He gave His all that I might have eternal life. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be a child of God. Matter of fact, before you and I were saved, in Romans 5:10, we're told that we were enemies of God. Ah, well, preacher, I never would be do anything to it. God says we're enemies of God before we're saved. We are enemies of God. But this enmity was put away at the cross, we read in Ephesians 2. Matter of fact, I want you to turn there with me, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 13. Ephesians 2, we'll start in verse 13 and read down through verse 17. Ephesians 2, verse 13. Notice how verse 13 starts here. It says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now notice, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby," watch again, "and came and preached peace to you which were afar off." Before we knew the Lord, we were afar off. "And to them that were made nigh." And we have been made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet in Colossians 1:20, Paul said, "Peace was made for us at the cross." And so we have peace with God through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we had it. There's no other way to have it. Now, in summing up, wounds, bruises, and stripes. All of these it took to make us whole. Kind of sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? Wounds, bruises, and stripes. All of them to make us whole on the Lord Jesus Christ. Dead to sin. And you know what else comes, or what comes next after being dead to sin, dying to self and sin? Alive, hear me, unto righteousness. Alive unto righteousness. Every person in this building is older. You know what right is, don't you? Shake your head. You know what right is? Sure you do. And so then we came to know the Lord. Even before I was saved, I knew what right was. My daddy corrected me. You know, this is right and this is wrong. You know the story. Dead to sin and living now under righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24. But His suffering and death, all was done that we could have Christ in our hearts. We could go to heaven when we die. But aside from that, I like to kind of describe it as being one of those fringe benefits. We have this peace that nothing or no one can take it away from us. Now we can, again, there can be some tough times, but see, when we have Christ where he should be in our lives, and we have him in the right perspective, I know the way. And he leads us, remember this, and never any other way, Christ leads me and you in the paths of righteousness. All the time, every time. Let me ask you this morning. Just simple, but think about it. Have you seen Christ wounded and bruised and beaten for you? Have you seen that? It's not hard. When we read the Bible and we know what it says about Christ, and we read the Bible and we know what it says about you and me, we realize that he's the only one who can do what needs to be done to make peace in your life and mine. Only way. So, there's no peace today. It could be that you need to know Christ as your personal Savior. Do you really? I'm not talking about joining church. You could have been baptized and all of that, but did you repent of your sin, realizing that you weren't going to heaven, and you, by faith, ask Christ to come into your heart and be your personal Savior? Have you ever done that? I don't mean something else, and you got some chills and that kind of thing, or somebody might have put, like they did on me one time, some drops of water ran down and into my ears and all of that, but that was supposed to have been making me right with God. And I left thinking it did, but it didn't. You know what made the difference is that I heard the gospel. I heard about what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And that took care of that. Yes, wounds and bruises bring us peace that Jesus endured when he was crucified. But you know, it didn't stop there, did it? He took him down, buried him in that tomb. And glory to God, he came out of there. He came out, he resurrected just like he said he would. Did all that for you and me. Oh, thank God.